for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 15 plus years in that games media combined, I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to join us in future, conversations, you can. Holy shit. Just check out the links below. Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. Those aforementioned links are in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you're listening to us on podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. Watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist. I'm not going to plug the merch because there's not even a For The Players one on there anymore because we keep getting copyright strike for using the symbols. But yeah, I'll make a new one eventually. It is post-PAX life. I'm knackered. How are you post-PAX, Max?
I was knackered Friday. Saturday, I feel like I did nothing. I sat a lot of Saturday. Like, I sat in a panel that I thought you were in, but you weren't. And me and Phoebe just kind of...
And then I left halfway through to go do something else.
And then I sat in the classic game section playing video game. And then I sat further learning how to play Locana. And then I sat again doing something else. Because I did like almost 30,000 steps on the Friday. Ooh. And then on the Saturday, I think I did like 18.
It's still a butt ton of steps. It's a crazy amount of steps.
And then obviously my wife was sick Sunday, so I couldn't come. She was fucking gnarly sick too.
It sounds that way from what you said. Like migraine, like hurling, like big time.
She had a migraine and a sinus infection, so from here to here was just completely clogged.
Ugh.
It's causing so much. Yeah, it's fucked.
Yeah. So for me, for 3 days of PAXing, my feet are still hurting. Like, so I ended up getting blisters on a toe on either side and my heel. That was rad. And then all the walking just blew out my calves. So they're all stiff. So like getting up is like an ache. I've been doing PAX for like what, 8 years at this point? 10 years? Like 2015. So 9 years. This is by far like the most I've hurt. And I think it was the choice of shoe, specifically. But I don't know, there's benefits in other ways. Obviously being thinner this year, like normally walking around, trudging, gets a little sweaty down in your parts because, you know, as a bigger dude. And normally some years that gets pretty gnarly. But last couple of years, not at all. And I wore jeans 2 days this year. And normally that's just a fucking dumb decision. Nah. This year. Nailed it. Personal statement, but it's a big win for me in my books. But anyways, because of that, there's not a whole lot to talk about this week. News is pretty quiet. But the main thing we'll talk about is PAX Oz 2024. So, once again... the ninth year in a row, including COVID, when I did some online panels during COVID, and we also did PAX Radio. We went back again as media, so we're kindly approved as with our media credentials. But this year got a little different, as we were also, both of us were there as special guests because we're on panels, etc. But we'll dive into the specifics. But Max, how did you feel about PAX overall? Because this is your third or fourth.
It's my fourth total, but third is media.
Yeah. So how did you find it?
Again, it was a really weird year, much the same as last year. You know, we got there in the media hour. There were still stalls being set up.
Yep, I'm aware of that.
you know, everything wasn't in place. Nintendo wasn't there this year. Xbox had a little showing in someone else's booth. PlayStation, once again, not there. Ubisoft, obviously, at the last minute, pulled out their big games and was left with last year's stuff. Nothing new over there. It felt just as busy as last year, but there was a little bit more floor space to work with. Obviously, you know, they shouted it from the rooftops for the last couple of months, saying this is the biggest tabletop selection that we've had, and there is no doubt about that. They had board games in the PAX Rising Indie section with the video games as well. So, you know, tabletop covered half of the convention floor, as it usually does at the back half. And then it also encroached on the video game territory and went, we are important too, which was cool. Final Fantasy Online was back with their big fucking honking Hawaiian tiki bar booth.
Yeah, it was interesting. It felt like, like fantasy mixed with, like a luau. It was weird.
Well, that's the whole shtick for their new campaign. And then you did.
That makes sense. That's completely on brand then.
Thematically, it makes sense. You know, there was some high. Like, it's just one of those things. Like, you know, I spent my entire day Friday playing board games. And then on Saturday, I played about a handful of actual video games. Nothing really tickled my fancy. Like, a lot of the stuff that was there from the big guys, I had either already played or had little to no interest in playing. There wasn't really, like, the one thing that I was keen to kind of check out was the new Assassin's Creed game. And obviously Ubisoft ripped that hard when they're like, it's getting delayed, no one's going to see it. So it was a weird one. It was cool catching up with everyone again. People who I had met only once briefly in passing last year, you know, flagged me down, stopped me, remembered who I was, which was a really cool feeling. I met the man, the myth, the legend himself. I stream sniped the shit out of Shuhei Yoshida and got a photo taken with him.
Yeah.
Because you're like PAX made and you sent a photo of you and Shuhei. I'm like, I fucking know where that is. And I took off running and found him, snapped a photo. He complimented on my PlayStation t-shirt. I was very happy. He was very happy. We're all very happy. It was great. So yeah, it was a weird PAX. Obviously, as you mentioned, I got to participate in a panel, which was an experience. It was good fun. Enjoyed that. But yeah, it's one of those things, like, I don't, as someone who has for the last, I think, 3 or 4 years attended only 2 days, I don't know how people have it in them to do three.
It's difficult, like,
I feel like I did everything that I wanted to do in two. I don't know what I would have done on a third day.
So look, my sentiment's very similar to yours. So I enjoyed the show, as I always do. Like, because whenever we do a convention like PAX or whatever, like even when I did Game Expo, I still enjoyed myself. But like, looking at it from that objective side, right? Like, for us, is what we do made it very difficult because PlayStation weren't there in any capacity, and what the other, pardon me, bigger guys had available were games that had already come out. So an example would be, I said Ubisoft, as you mentioned. Assassin's Creed Shadows wasn't there, but they had Prince of Persia, which is, you know, already out. It came out at the beginning of the year. Outlaws, which just came out, the Star Wars Outlaws. Crew Motorfest, which came out early this year, late last year, somewhere last year sometime. There was that, and then Just Dance, which is, you know, Just Dance is always a staple. You can never bitch about Just Dance. You can't bitch about Just Dance.
It's the new Just Dance that comes out tomorrow.
Yeah, so they're like, that's the one, but like, it's just more Just Dance, really. And then there was like Sega, and I think Sega had something new being Shadow X Generations or whatever. Like, that's technically not out yet. But like, if you don't care about
Senec,
then what you gonna do, right? So
they also had Metaphor, which dropped the day of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Metaphor, Rio Fantasio was there.
And I think, and my understanding was, it's just a prologue demo that is available to play.
Yeah, but not in its full 16, because that thing's like 5 hours long. If you want it to be, or 10 yeah. hours long, how you want to play it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's that. So from that, that's a bit of a bummer. And because of the nature of the indies, it is fun to go look through the indies, but predominantly, most of them will be coming to PC. Like, if not, actually, all of them will be coming to PC. Very few of them will be coming to consoles. Or they're so early or mid through development that they have no larger plans for console releases yet, except for Switch. Switch came up a lot because I think it's an easy platform to port your indie games to, which is a great thing. But yeah, as you mentioned, like we did a panel together, which was fantastic. So that was the I've discussed here a number of times the last couple of weeks, but that was the idea of the console war debate, but having the you know, whatever brand you're aligned with, you fight for the other. So in this case, Max, you were on Team Green because you're a PlayStation creator, but you had to defend Xbox. I did put you in a losing battle. There was no way you were going to win, and you didn't. Or your team didn't. It wasn't just you.
Oh, so, no, I definitely didn't.
But it was one of those things where we all technically win. Like, yes, our team didn't lose, but our brand won. The other team, their team won, but their brand lost. So technically, we all won, which is a little sneaky little trick I put behind there. It was all part of the plan. But that was really, really fun. And we'll touch upon that a little bit later. Like, this is kind of general summaries and breaking into individual games, and then we'll talk about the panels and stuff. Because I do have some like overall thoughts about PAX and my experience with PAX over the last like 8 years. But I like that's probably me just probably doing a diatribe of some sort. So we'll touch and head into the games that we have played, the games that we checked out. So as you mentioned, like, you know, 3 days. Like, what do I do with those 3 days? Well, the first day is socializing, scouting the space, finding the things to catch my interest. Then Saturday this year was two panels and dicking about in the park. So that took most of my day. And also, yeah, a bit more. So, and then I, you know, went to some friends' panels to support them. Then home. And then Sunday was, I'm actually going to play some games now. And I took advantage of the quiet time and I just wandered around, had a look. Like, Sunday was very much, I did kind of nothing. I just wandered around, looked, and, you know, took it all in. But like, I, having done all, like, by Sunday, all my commitments were done. Everything that I said I would do, I had done. So even as I was walking to the venue, granted, my whole lower extremities were on fire. Not anxiety, but like there's like a tension or a stress or like, oh shit, I gotta, like, we've got shit to do, like, was gone. I'm like, oh well, I've done everything I needed, like, let's just enjoy it. So like, there were some times where I just sat down, I just people watched for a little bit, and I, you know, went and I had to wander around and say, oh, what's that, let's have a look at that, okay, oh, that's cool. And then just kind of, you know, it's a different way of experiencing PAX for me. But as you mentioned, Max, what we, you know, what we do when we're there to play games or try games. Now, I'll talk about this more a little bit later as I sort of do my summary. But as you mentioned, yeah, it's different these days. PAX is not what, like, at least for me, PAX isn't what it was 7 years ago, 8 years ago. Shit, even 3 years ago. Actually, no, it's about the same 3 years ago, pre-COVID, I should say. So there's less triple A's, less the big guys, even less double A's. Like, it's indie and maybe one big guy. That's it. So as a result, the games that we spent some time with, different in that space. I'll kick things off because what probably the most triple A, double A game that I personally played, I went and checked out Two Point Museum over at the Sega booth. Well, technically, it's the five-star publishing booth. I went to this game knowing full well that I was going to love it because I love the 2 Point games. I love the 2 Point studio. And I played it for about 5 minutes and I went, yep, thank you, bye. So unlike 2 Point Hospital or 2 Point Campus, which is all about, you know, people come in and they disperse and they do the things and they leave, where Museum is intentionally creating an experience in that you come through the door and then you walk through and you pass your way out and then you leave. You know, it becomes that, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a path, I guess, or like a funnel. Like you funnel people through it so it's not as like sporadic comparatively. I quite like that because I like how that would work from a, you know, maintaining, like from a working within the game, like how do you maintain these individuals' attention, you know, how do you, you can put like little donation things throughout the level so people can like boop as they get to the thing. You got to maintain the exhibits. Yeah, it's big tick. It's one of those things where I played it for like 3 minutes, but yeah, that's exactly what I wanted. Thanks. But that I think that brings up a bigger point. Like I played like what 5-6 games total, and even then, some of them I didn't even play. I just watched because I found that the experience that I would have with a game is different at home, and I know what I like and I know what I don't like. So I walk up to them like, I think I'll like this. I watch it and then I go, yeah, I like that. I'll play it when it becomes available. Because me playing it now in unideal conditions, it's not a fair representation of the game, at least in my opinion. But what was one of the first things you checked out, Max, from the game side of things?
On the game side, so the first thing that I looked at was Squat Ops.
He's nicely provided then, swag.
The way I describe this, because I didn't partake. This is basically Metal Gear Fitness. So yeah. Picture like old school, like Metal Gear Solid 1, and it is a puzzle game. So essentially, it's set up as a stealth ops game, and the gimmick is to move around the levels, you have to squat. So a squat will move you 2 spaces. A jump will roll you 3 spaces. If you hold the squat, you put a box over your head and you are invisible. So you have to essentially count the spaces to get around the map and not get seen by the guards or the security cameras or the machine gun turrets. And there's a few caveats, like if you're 1 space from a corner and you dodge roll, it dodge rolls you to the corner. You don't get to move the full 3 spaces. You get to dodge to the corner.
MGB so does ask in the chat, is this a VR game?
No, it's not a VR game. So they were showing it off on Switch. So you strap.
It's motion control instead. Okay.
You strap the Joy-Con to your hand, to your leg. Sorry. So it feels the rotation as you squat down or jump.
So very similar to was a fitness trainer Ring Fit or whatever.
Bench,
or
yeah, ball, yeah, like, yeah. Okay. Wii Sports with the fucking soccer ball, anything like that. So I was talking to the designer, Adam. I asked him, you know, how do you account for accessibility? And he's like, it has been troublesome. You could theoretically put it on your arm because it's just tracking the movement. He mentioned that he had used some machine learning and had managed to use Apple AirPods as a gyroscope.
That's fantastic.
And he managed to get it running on an iPhone. So by like nodding your head as opposed to ducking, you can play the game that way. Obviously, being a PlayStation content creator, I'm like, you know, is it coming to PlayStation? He's like, look, I've spoken to Sony, but it's one of those things of like, yes, PlayStation controllers do have gyroscopes in them, but it's where do we universally hold the controller where it works for everyone?
It's in your hand.
In which I suggested you pack it with a headband and you fucking wear your PlayStation controller like this.
That is a dumb and also good decision.
So that's he's looking at a release what about of next
belt
year.
Clip.
Belt clip could work, but then again, it's like, how does it work? Obviously, on PC, you can use a webcam, and it'll just track where your head is at the time. So yeah. If you duck down, there's a level that you have, like a threshold level of get below this, and it's you're doing this. A jump threshold of get above this, and you are doing that motion. So he has really thought about accessibility options, which is really good for a game that is essentially trying to trick you into doing fitness.
Mm.
Um, But as it's a puzzle game, you kind of have to look at the minimap. The minimap will show you how many nodes that you can move throughout the level, and you kind of have to be like strategic about it, because obviously if you move two spaces, you're not behind cover anymore and a guard could see you, but a jump would get you three spaces, you'd be behind cover. But then if you jump three spaces, you've got no safe spaces to move the next time, so you might have to jump twice really quickly to move six spaces.
Okay.
Or you'll have to duck and then do a quick squat to move five spaces. So it's that give and take of like, you have to be active, but you also have to think about what you're doing, because you also have like a faux stamina bar, because he's like, before we put that in, we had people speed running levels by just fucking jumping constantly really quickly and they could just dodge everything. So we had to put something into place to slow people down from being able to do that. So squats. So picture the UI essentially looked like a Breath of the Wild stamina bar with rings. So if you did a squat, it would take up a quarter of the ring, but a jump would take up three quarters of the ring. Therefore, you wouldn't be able to do anything else until you recovered your stamina. So you have to kind of think about how you move through the levels. To pick up the intel, you have to land perfectly on it. You can't go past it and like pick it up on the way through. So it's all that, you know, give and take, and you know, you use the corners to your advantage because you can't move past corners. The corners are like a hard stop. It was a really cool concept.
Yeah, it's a great concept. It's a great way to think about it and use the technology you have available to you. But just like the trouble that we have with things like this, any sort of gimmicked things like this, they do have a higher barrier entry and will likely have a lesser success rate or a market penetration, just mostly because people are like, oh, I just want to sit down and play my games. Like, not everyone's up and down and moving, but for those that want it, like, it's great. Like, I guess
if you wanted to sit on the couch, you could strap it to like a shake weight and just like jerk it.
Well, I could just jerk it anywhere, I suppose. Either or.
Another game that I checked out was Brides of Bloodbane.
I saw the images of that one. Looked really sick.
So that was a shooter on PC. So essentially, the guy's like, look, very simple. You're in a boss fight. The aim is to shoot the bow, like charge a shot and shoot the crystals on the boss's legs. He's like, no one's beaten it yet. Good luck. I'm like, cool. I got 7 of the 8 crystals destroyed, and then I wasn't paying attention for like 2 seconds. I got fucking stood on, and you instantly die. If you get hit, you just die.
Well, then I would hate this game. It sounds very much like a new game, though.
It was fine. It was obviously very early in development. There was a bit of jank to, like, the charging of the bow sometimes just wouldn't charge. Dodge rolling was kind of weird. As a proof of concept, like, it seems cool. Essentially, if you run out of stamina to charge your bow, you kind of just melee attack things and your stamina bar increases. And then you're able to shoot again. But yeah, very, very early. Like, yeah. I think I lasted about 5 minutes and then, yeah, it was kind of over. And as for video games, that's pretty much all I played.
This is where I can jump in. So one of the ones that I did, so the, out of the handful of games that I did check out, the ones that caught my attention the most were from the code section, which is the New Zealand New Zealand area of PAX. Hey, here's all the games that are made out of New Zealand. And they have like 6, 8, I think it's like 12 actually. It's like a good, it's about 8-ish minimum, 8 or 10. So there was one that caught my attention. Now, admittedly, this came recommended to me by Kieran of the Explosion Network. He's like, I was like, hey, what games you checked out? He's like, oh, this is one called Burger Boys. And I was like, go on. I'm already intrigued. And they're like, yeah, it's kind of like a cooking simulator game. I'm like, oh, you son of a bitch, I'm in. But it's a little different. So I went and checked it out. It's very similar to a game that I weirdly adore called Cook Serve Delicious. So that is a rapid like cooking game where someone will order something. You've got to like make it as quick as you possibly can. It's all a bunch of menus and a lot of dexterity you're required. Where this takes that principle of a customer coming to you, asking for a specific order and you needing to make it. However, the difference here is there's no timer, there's no anxiety, there's no stress. It's very cozy, it's very chill, but there is also no recipes. So rather than, hey, this is exactly what I want, they'd be like, this is what I'm feeling like. So an example, someone would walk up and be like, hey, I would like a burger that is juicy, a little acidic, and at least two cheese slices. And then when you go into the categories as you're building this burger, like each item has, you know, it gives it its ranking. It's all, there's no like number ranking. It's all like, you know, a dash, an arrow or two arrows, you know, or three, I think was depending on like its intensity. So there were categories like, yeah, sweetness, sweet, sour, salty,
acidic.
Acidic, and was that
umami?
Umami, yep, umami's on there as well yeah. As like its juiciness and et cetera, so you know, whether it's vegan and vegetarian, all those sort of things as well. So then as you're playing it, you're okay, well, this is what they've asked for, let's try this. And then they will let you know, they'll go, oh, you know, it was juicy enough but it wasn't acidic enough, and you only put one piece of cheese on it. So like, they don't like slam you, like you still get the money, but I think it's just less money. And then you get a star rating. And then they'll, you know, different people would come in, and eventually they might come back and ask for the same order or a different order. And you get to sort of learn more about that. So what I got a kick out of that was exactly that, like having to sort of decipher what they're asking for and learn the metrics of what, of, you know, very acidic would be as an example, or very juicy or little. That part was fun. Even though I don't work there anymore, my brain did go to it thinking about my old job working in like games as therapy for neurodiverse kids. Because I think like this game has the ability to help people understand the nuances of conversation. Explain, like when someone says this, and you're like, what, so someone says that, you know, they want it very juicy. Like, what does that mean? You know, like, or how that, you know, how it's delivered to. It's a great way just to build social skills in like a sort of abstracty kind of way, which did pop me a little bit. And also, big thank you to TJ Breezy for the follow 12 minutes ago. What a ledge.
I thought you were going to mention your old job at McDonald's.
Oh, and it did also go to my old job at McDonald's, but this one did make me want to kill myself. So it's pretty good. Game is much better. But yeah, the visual style is really cool. It's like all hand, it feels like hand drawn soft stuff, and the characters are all kind of these interesting, like, unique setup. Like, the one that sticks, that resonates to me was a fish. And you know how, like, in cartoons, it's a fish, like SpongeBob, it's a fish sideways, but he's wearing a suit. And then he asked what I want, and apparently I made exactly what he wanted. So he gets, like, a handsome, almost like a chiseled jaw, handsome Squidward smile. And he's like, oh, this burger is perfect. And I get 5 stars. So I was like, this game's amazing. But they did also give, you know, as you mentioned, you got the lovely little badge there from the team at Squat Up. I did get a lovely little, like, it looked like a little hamburger bag. It's in my kitchen, so I don't have it on me. But it came with, like, a business card, a little sticker, a couple of those jelly hamburgers, you know, little gummy hamburgers. But it also came with this. So the burger van from the game, Burger Boys, there it is there. And it came through a little 3D printed miniature of that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to paint the hell out of this and then put it up on socials and stuff, because that is a genuinely awesome little goodie to get in the bag. So shout out to the team over at Burger Boys. I do have the name of the studio. Give me one sec. Mischief Makers Studio. They're cool. And the two people that I met there were absolutely lovely. Absolutely lovely. So at the moment, I think the plan is PC. And it's kind of where it's at the moment, just because it's pretty early days. However, of course, I will be checking the shit out of it on PC and or console as well, because it's going to be rad. So that's one of the other games I checked out from the code game section was a title called Project Storm. So this is from Transformative Games. Sorry, I'm just doing
your
timestamps. Yep. So Project Storm, shout out to the guy that was there. I forgot his name. I do apologize because he was really nice, but I'm just rude and forget people's names, I guess. Where he walked up, he goes, I walked up because it caught my attention. He's like, hey, do you like the movie Twister? I'm like, hell yeah, I love the movie Twister. He goes, cool, because this is essentially that in the game. I was like, go on. So they're about 6 months into dev. Project Storm is...
He's like, he's Glenn Powell.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my God. And then Glenn Powell comes out of nowhere. I'm like, ah! It would be even better if they bought the other guy, the one that died, who's awesome. Bill Paxton. Helen Hunt, though, hit and miss. But, the game itself, the idea is that you essentially start from nothing. It's just you and your truck, and you storm chase. Now, it's not exclusively chasing tornadoes. Like, you might need to go and assist with, you know, some people as, you know, they've been flooded, they've been impacted, they need some stuff cleared. You can go and do it. And then as you go, you know, you build up your truck, you get it, you know, more powerful, you know, you get better lights, it's, you know, it's heavier, it's better to withstand the, you know, the mud or whatever. But you also get to build up a base. So you can have like a station, which will allow you to see better telemetry, allow to get better meteorology, so you can, you know, check the weather and see how it's going to go. And then you can predict where like a storm or tornado is going to go. Because the world itself is... The map is the same, but all the events are procedurally generated. So it's the same world, so that way you always remember where things are, but sometimes the storm will fuck up a road, so you can't get there that way you normally would anymore. Or, you know, the flood, like with all the rain, the lake has gotten bigger or something. It's kind of what they're explaining to me. Yeah, so you go do what you got to do and find ways to... And there's different... so it's co-op. I think you said it was two-player co-op is the idea at the time, but it's also single-player. There are various roles, which would be like medic, which is obviously going and like helping people and getting them. Crimson, hey man, what's going on? That's a name I've not seen in the chats for a while. How you doing? The fact that it's essentially like a soft arcadey sim, big thumbs up from me. And then on top of that, I get to go do a bunch of cool shit like chasing storms. Big win. Love it. I get to have a base and build it up. Love it. Everything about it tickles my fancy. Downside, as I said, it's only 6 months in dev, so it's not going to come out till about 2026. What did you find? What did you just get your giggles?
Oh, dude. So, you know how I mentioned the Pokemon leak earlier today?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So apparently Typhlosion is currently trending on Twitter.
Oh, no.
Like the final evolution for the Firestarter and Gold Silver.
Yeah.
Apparently, in the files that they found, there's like really weird fucking Nintendo written lore of a Typhlosion kidnapping a woman, gaslighting her, and then making her give birth to a half human, half Pokemon child.
Okay.
Game Freak, am I right?
Oh, absolutely. Project Storm is a really cool little game. Like I said, it's made by some indie devs in New Zealand, which was already lovely. And the woman that was... So there's a guy there and a woman there, and they were lovely. Fantastic. Very excited. And I was explaining to them how, like, you know, sim games like this just make my ADHD brain happy. Like, I just love it. Simple, repetitive tasks. Big fan. And they're like, oh, no, fantastic. Let me get that. That's amazing. That was a great one as well. The other one I checked out, this one... I heard about this one from... So on Tuesday, I was invited to a little mixer with the team at Toast Interactive, the guys behind Max Mustard. So it was cool. I went and had a bunch of VR creatives just having a chat. And these guys from South Australia. I was like, oh, you know, so like what are some games from SA that are here? Like, what should I go check out? And there was a guy like, oh, there's a game called Dungeons and Dressing Tables. You have to go check it out. I named it. But it's also a really good game. I was like, okay, well, you've caught my attention. Like, the name itself is fantastic. What do you got? He goes, it's essentially Diablo meets Animal Crossing, but it's all like the rewards for your dungeon crawling is furniture. And then you go back to your town and you build up your town and you make the coziest town you can, and that's how you score. And then you go and do dungeons and like little raids. And the big boss, once you beat them, they then join your town. And suddenly, that big boss is now your blacksmith or your carpenter or your chef or runs the tavern or whatever, right? And I'm like, this is rad. And the best part is you're playing this little axolotl. So that's adorable in and of itself. I was watching this young girl play it once again, because as I mentioned earlier, like me, I'm happy just to watch these games and then I'll play them when they become available to me, because the show floor experience is just fucking dumb. This kid was like, from a design standpoint, they just were wandering around, they were given no direction, yet they knew what to do. And like, that tells me excellent world design. And the same thing, she was also pushing it to its limit as well, like doing like what my son does, just by absolutely breaking the game, by throwing themselves off cliffs, seeing if they can roll through this. They got stuck in a door at some point just because they tried to see if they could just essentially just run at the door really hard to get through it. But yeah, that was a great little game. Like it felt like My Time at Porsche, but there is combat, which My Time at Porsche does not have. But yeah, that's a big old Betson game right there. So big fan of that as well. There's a couple that I did go have a bit of a look at, not quite an in-depth look, but they did catch my attention in a couple of ways. One of them was Footy Bash. Footy Bash has been at PAX the last couple of years, and we've heard incredible things out of our mates like Paul James. But this was the first time I actually went and properly checked it out. And it is essentially like a side-scrolling sort of... like it's like a 2.5D flat pixel design game where, you know, everyone kind of runs sideways left and back. The physics are a little dumb, so you can jump really high and like spike it, but you can also fucking spike people. There's no blood rule in this version of AFL. You can just straight like beat the piss out of folk. It was really cool. There's another one around the corner, and I saw it and my brain went, oh my god, this is a Buddy Watson game. A good friend Buddy, he has a very particular game style that he likes. Oh, there it is in the chat. Dungeons and Dining Table. Thank you, Max, for jumping that in there. So it's called Servonauts. The idea is that you're little astronauts and you run a server station in space. But it's not a server station as you think. So think Overcooked mixed with, was it Camped Out or Tools Up? It's a 2.5D. You see this map and the idea is you've got these pump stations that you need to run things to. And then you can drill for oil on this thing and you can run the pipe, but drilling oil takes up quite a large amount of space where running pipes doesn't. So you could build like, just drill like six things and just easily pipe them up, but it also then restricts your movement. It's cool. Co-op, it looks great. I just kind of looked at it and went, I'm going to wait to see where this comes out, because I have a feeling it's going to be a blast. And I said, and it's absolutely a buddy game, which, big fan of that. Other than that, I think that's all that I actively went and checked out in terms of the games. I was expecting you to mention the Isopod game. What's the Isopod game?
No idea.
Don't know. But as I mentioned earlier, like from a game experience, I was like, I know what I like, I know what I don't. I walked through and I went, nah, yes. Oh, and also there was one that caught my interest. Was it Bogan Hero or something? It kind of looked like the side scroller Gunbrella. But with a little bit more of like a very stiff sort of movement. It was kind of cool. And you just play like as an Aussie with a honking mullet, blue singlet, little shorties, and he had a little Kelpie dog, which was awesome. Crimson jumps in and goes, Isopod is the little game where you play as a roly-poly bug. Gave me Bug Snack vibes. Ooh. Ooh. Oh, I hated Bug Snacks until I played it, so... They can't poo-poo on the game for that. We've got a bit of time, Max. Like, let's talk tabletop. Because I know, as you said, that's where you spent most of your Friday. So let's do a quick wrap up of a round off of all the tabletop things you checked out.
So I checked out Aethermon, which was in the PAX Rising section. So Aethermon is essentially a, you can play it either cooperatively or competitively. I played it competitively. And the shtick is you have like a, I think it was like a 6x6 board. And you can only move, you can move as many spaces as you want, but you can only move like a rook in chair. So up and down or left and right, that's it. And
the
you
correct
collect...
term is castle, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, rook is the correct term. and you're essentially trying to collect their Pokemon. They're fake Pokemon. That's why it's called Aethermon. And you each Aethermon is worth a point, either 1, 2, or 3. And if you collect the entire evolutionary line, you get double points. The game ends when you land on an empty space twice in a row. So, like, if I land on an empty space and then my opponent lands on an empty space, the game ends. At the start of the game, you get given two, I think they called them relics, and they were essentially gave you, like, bonuses. The ones that I got were switch any two Aethermon on the board at the end of your turn. Just swap two places. And my other one was fly to any one spot. Instead of moving that turn, go to any one cost. Or like 1 point, one. My opponent got moved diagonally, which changed the whole game. You can only do it. You can only use them once though, and the other one was kind of useless. So that was fun. Very straightforward. Very easy to pick up. It was just move, collect, move, collect. Very simple. Very easy. The artwork was pretty cool. They essentially looked like fake Pokemon.
Crimson brought up a good one in the chat, which was chess variant. I didn't stop it. I didn't stop and check it out, but it was essentially chess, but that you could merge pieces.
Called Chess Plus.
Chess Plus. Yeah, that looks sick. I just like the idea of like, because I getting my head around chess generally would be fun, and then it's like now you got to rethink it. I'm like, oh, I'm not smart enough for that.
Yeah, it's Chess Plus. I walked past it a few times, but look at it. Yeah, you can fuse the two pieces, and they kind of gain their movement. So like, picture a queen and a knight being able to just move in any way they want, which was cool. Another game I checked out was called Typewriter. So essentially it plays like Scrabble, but you don't have a board. So you start with, you're essentially trying to make a typewriter. So you start with four keys and you have to make a word from the tiles that are provided to you. There is a communal set of four tiles that are always in the, that are always in play, and a communal set of vowels. You only get one vowel at a time. If you make a 9-letter word, you get to keep the vowel, and then no one else can use it, and you go to the next vowel. And essentially, it's a victory point game, so you try and make the words as big as you can. You go up the point track of your typewriter, and when you've reached a point that you're happy with, you can push the typewriter back, and you gain the points, and you can bank a letter, and that's how you start getting points. So each letter, like in Scrabble, each letter is worth a set amount of points, and then at the end of the game, most points win. But there is a we played the short version, which is 6 rounds, and there's a card that's flipped at the start of each turn, which applies rules to the game for that turn. So it might be any word that is worth less than 5 points is automatically worth 7 points. Or if you create a word that has 7 or more points, gain a bonus 5 points on top of that. Or, you know, something like that. And essentially, you're just trying to make as many words, trying to make the biggest word you can each turn and bank as many points as you can.
Nice.
Really, really fun game. Very, very simple. Very easy to play. We played it with 4 people, just like competitively 4 people. The guy who was teaching us the game won out of nowhere. It was pretty close though. It was 13-13, 14-15. So Ooh. It was like neck and neck the whole game, which was cool.
Yeah, I did come in midway through that and it was all right. I was like, I don't know what the hell's going on, but.
Yeah, very, very easy to pick up and play. One of the other games we looked at was, I can't for the life of me remember what it was called. Maybe you can remember. But it was a Where's Wally murder mystery.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember what it was called, but it was cool.
Yeah, so essentially you get like a town map, and it only comes with 16, like you can only play it 16 times because there's only 16 like murders or mysteries to solve. And once you solve them, you kind of know where everything is. But the one that they demoed for us was a man had been murdered. So it shows you where the guy is, and then you have to find him around the map. So you're kind of like, what's the motive? Why did he kill?
Was it the hot chips one?
No, it was the bag of money.
Ah, okay, yeah, interesting. So for us, the one that we were shown was one called Hot Chips. So he points to the dead body, and there's a guy. He's down, and he's got like a what do you notice around him? Like, well, he's dropped his chips. All right, well, where can you get chips? So okay, we follow the path, and we see where these chips are. I'm like, oh, there's the chips. All right, and then you find like, oh, you see he's being tailed. You're, oh shit, okay, hang on. So the guy tailing him has like a bowler hat and a jacket. Okay, so you start looking for the map, and you find, because once the where's Wally, you're seeing where they are, and you go, all right, walking backwards, cool. Hey, the guy had a backpack at some point. Where's the backpack? And then you trace it, and you go back to the apartment, and you realize that he had a bag full of money. And like the guy,
it's the same one.
Yeah, and then the guy, you're like, well, then who? Like, how did they know about the bag of money? You look up, turns out the guy lived next door on the third floor, and there he is looking down. Like, all right, well, where is he now? Then you start following him. It's a cool little principle, right? It was a total of five sets, I think. Like, as in terms of.
The base set had 16.
Oh, no, I mean, like, there's like sets, as in, like, boxes. There were five, and then I was like, 16, and then, like, a bonus.
Or expansion, yeah.
So it looked really cool, but, yeah, we didn't pick it up for the reasons you mentioned. Like, you play it once and you're done. Like, and I was like, oh, that's kind of a bummer. But I thought it would be a fun one for James, but maybe not. That's a bummer. But the one that we did both check out, the only board game that I really sat down and messed with, and that was Disney's Lorcana. Now, oh, there's Max with his shiny Kristoff promo card for playing. Lorcana's been in my interest for a little while, and mostly because I'm still on the hunt for a TCG, or a collectible TCG, one that would make me want to go and collect the cards for fun. And, you know, Magic's a good one for that, but As of right now, there's not a property that Magic offer, like an IP, I should say, that Magic have that makes me want to actively go seek them out.
Well, I showed Hadley that card, and she's like, do they have an Elsa card? Is like, there Anna cards?
There is Elsa and Anna cards.
I'm like, yeah, probably.
Yeah, because they were the set that I used, yeah.
And she's like, can we get them, please? And I said, maybe.
So we sat down and gave Lorcana a burl. It was myself took on Phoebe, my partner. Max, you took on our new friend, Fulya, who joined us at the panel. We'll talk about our panel shortly. And you and Fulya have played TCGs before, or at least Magic before. So you guys just went straight in and picked the piss out of each other. Phoebe and I were learning as we went. I really liked what it was. Like, I didn't grab it straight away. Like, I was like, okay, well, I'm getting the understanding of what we're doing, what we're feeling. All right, so it's a mix of attacking each other while also trying to go on this little quest. And I think it's first to get to the wherever. So, like,
instead of bringing your opponent's health to 20, you want to gain 20 points.
Yeah, so there are a couple little choices that they make to make it a bit more friendly. Like, so you don't, it's not about beating the opponent. It's just about, like, sorry, killing them or wrecking them. It's just about, you know, getting to where you need to be. Also, Big Shep, thank you for the lurk, much appreciated. Even when you take on cards, you don't kill them, you don't discard them, you don't destroy them, you banish them, right? Like, it's the fun play on words that comes with the games. So I said I was getting it. Because I'm, from my understanding, Max, is, yeah, it is very similar to Magic in a lot of ways.
Yeah, so the only real difference is...
So you have the Inkwell, which is essentially where you build up your combat points.
What I was about to get to. So essentially...
Oh, my apologies. I thought that was like a Magic thing. Sorry.
Instead of having resource cards like islands, swamps, forests in Magic, you have Ink.
Oh,
so to gain Ink... I don't know how well you'll be able to see it. For those looking at home, there's a cost up in the top corner of it. There it goes. Focus. Thank you. It has a border. So that's a straight border. So that card can't be inked. So you have to sacrifice cards from your hand. You can do it once per turn to gain ink. And then you use those ink to pay the summoning costs of the creatures. So it's that give and take of like... because you have to sack a card every time. Like the ink is permanent. Like once you've inked something, it stays in that inkwell and can be and is tapped and untapped at the start of each turn. But you have to sacrifice a card in order to play a card. Or in some cases, you have to sacrifice multiple cards. We played with the beginner boxes, so there are cards missing.
We'll play in the beginner box, but they actively took cards out. So like we bought it, we would have had extra cards, but they intentionally culled some to make it a quicker.
So we essentially only got to play with hero cards. So we had no action cards, we had no location cards, and we had no song cards. So it felt really unbalanced because there were no like board wipes. There was no like hard clear cards where you could just like destroy opponent card or anything like that. So it felt really unfair because once you got enough
ink,
once you had enough heroes on the board, the way the game works is you've got two options. You can either tap a creature and quest for lore, which is how you win the game. So each character, again, for those who are watching the video, in the corner here at the bottom, once it grabs focus again, you'll see those three little symbols.
Shift it a little bit to your right. There you go. Yep.
Now it lost focus again.
There's little markers there, yeah.
But there's little markers to denote how much lore a character can get whilst questing. And essentially, first to 20 wins. Once a character is exhausted or tapped, the opponent may quest for lore, or they can challenge you, which means they attack each other, so strength against defense and vice versa. So at one point I had five heroes on the board and my opponent had one, so I would quest with four and attack with one, and there was no way that she could ever possibly catch up to me because she had no way to cycle cards. Like she couldn't get any more cards in her hand because we were missing important cards. There was no draw mechanics for her to draw extra cards, and it felt very one-sided. So hopefully that's fixed when you're playing with like all the cards at your disposal. But for a learning experience, it was very simplistic, very straightforward. It's just your turns are over very quickly. You literally draw a card, you decide whether or not you want to ink or not, and then you go questing. So even if you want to play passively, if you've got more heroes on the board, you can just quest.
Yeah.
And they'll never catch up.
Yeah. Saying that, though, like, I did still really enjoy it, personally. I liked the beginnings of it. I was playing going, ooh, hang on, this looks intriguing. Like, I like where this is going. We didn't end up buying the pack because I was in the hope of, like, you know, Phoebe might be intrigued. She's like, yeah, this looks interesting. I'll check it out.
I think I regret not doing it because I think I could teach Hadley how to play pretty easily.
Yeah. That was the thing because I was like...
And I think she would get a kick out of, like... I think she'd get a kick out of it.
Absolutely. And that would be the difference where, like, the set that I was using was... It did have a lot of, like, Frozen and that movie with the... dragon looking thing in it. What the hell is that?
Raya and the something something
dragon. Yeah, the something something in that one where Phoebe was using like a deck that had a lot of Aladdin in it. So I was like, oh shit, I care about that. So like my desire to find a collectible trading card game with a IP that I care about, I don't think Lacana is it. However, I did still enjoy playing it, which is dangerous, knowing that if there's a Magic the Gathering that ever tackles my interest, I'll probably want to buy it and play it. But Phoebe was absolutely correct. She's like, you can't buy it because I know you and you'll buy it. And then be like, oh, but we don't have all the things. And then you'll want to buy them all. I'm like, yeah, that's very true. So she's very conscious of me and I appreciate that. Because, you know, on a complete side note, since moving to this new place, we've been very conscious with our money. Done a good bit of saving. And Max, I think I'll actually be able to afford a PS5 Pro. Reasonably.
Why? Why?
Because I could.
Why?
I'm not going to. This very second.
I don't believe you.
Oh, I don't believe me either. I'm absolutely going to buy one. But
why?
Because I'm mental. I'm a giant mark, mate. I'm a giant mark.
You could choose not to be.
Nah. Nah,
because,
mate.
Because if these fucks are $1,200, the next console that comes out in 3 years' time is going to be more.
Okay.
Just save it. You're crazy.
Nah.
You're fucking insane.
Yeah.
You heard it here first. Mental. Mental.
Look.
You'll have bought and paid for three PS5s and only have one.
Yeah.
You're nuts.
No, I'm probably going to keep the Slim. I'm not going to get rid of it.
Oh, that's even worse.
No, probably.
Actually, not really. It's yeah.
Because that's the other thing. Because in Phoebe's little nook in her little lounge room, you know, she's like, oh, her TV blows. Like, it sucks. And I was like, oh, I could just move the Slim down to your room, except your TV sucks. So I'm not going to do it. She's like, well, we're both saved up a bit. Like, I use that TV every day. Like, maybe I should get a new TV. Like, maybe you should get a new TV. I'd probably condone her buying a new TV before me getting a Pro. But look, mate, Max,
Don't tell me you're on your fucking insanity, mate.
No, I'm wearing my insanity. No, what I'm saying is, like, now that we've talked about all the games, like, we went and did a panel where we got to go and, like, you're like, oh, why the hell would you buy a PS5 Pro? I'm like, mate, I built an entire fucking panel around the idea of how much I love PlayStation. All right? So it was absolutely a thing. So we've talked about the premise of the panel as it is, like, before. But, Max, this is your first time, like, getting up on a stage and doing it. Like, how was it for you? Because Max came in clutch. Because Paul James was originally booked to come in, but he's had his wife's a bit unwell, but come some surgery complications, etc. So he wasn't able to commit to it. So Max came in and fucking did a real good job.
It felt like this is not a knock on anyone, but it felt like there was a little bit of mixed messaging as to what was going on.
No, absolutely. Yeah. No, I experienced that
So there was the I super didn't want to start the show. So I very much like bouncing off other people, which is why I like our dynamic so much. I got to go first, which sucked. I was told that we were all going to stand up and do our bit. I was the only one who did. Go me.
We gave him the option. Once we realized that, because the original stage plan was like podium in the middle with the tables. If that could be achieved, successful. But we went in there, they're like, that everything's where it is. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah. So it was fine. For the life of me, I'm terrible with names. The person opposite me, who was a sleeper agent for PlayStation, apparently. Nads was lovely. She did exactly what I wanted, which was interrupt mid conversation, throw me bits that I could play off of, and that's what I wanted. That's what I live for. So that was great. And you know, she came up and had a chat with me afterwards. She's like, you know, I hope you don't feel like it was an attack on you. I'm like, no, that's what I wanted. That's what I was expecting. That's what I was sold on. That's what I was hoping for. And that's why I did it to you. Like, I wanted those interruptions. I wanted points to make. I wanted to be able to, because when it was pitched, when you kind of pitched it to me, it was going to be like this. The big debate, the comedy debate. I'm like, oh, cool it. We're just going to be like throwing slings at each other. It's going to be silly.
Yeah.
It's be
and like that was the plan, except I presumed that everyone had put effort into their topic and what they've written.
Yeah.
So I was very conscious that like if we had a free flow, people would not be able to hit all their beats they wanted to. They wouldn't like, because I know with my opening monologue thing, like I put a lot of effort into that. And if that got interrupted, it would have thrown me off and I would not have liked it.
Yeah.
So, like, hence the rebuttal. The rebuttal was free. The idea of the rebuttal moment was just fucking beat up on each other. Yeah. But, like, let everyone get their stuff in, then kick the shit out of each other.
Because, like, when you and Doom got up and Doom was like, oh, but this is round one's topic, this is round two's topic, round three's topic, and we all, as a collective, like me, Ash, and Fira went, okay, this is
well because I had the same thing because like
we all looked at each other like, oh, okay, this is our stuff does not fit into these categories.
Exactly. Hence why I very quickly because like that was never the agreement. The agreement was that we would all have individual topics, And we would try line them up where we could, but they're individual topics because like the internet, we all stand on, we all have our own weird hills to stand on. So we start fucking fighting. So that was absolute miscommunication between Doom and
I. And I'm still glad I did it. I'm grateful for the opportunity. It was great fun. By the end of it, it kind of got down to that silliness that I think a lot of us were expecting it to be. At one point, our opponents got up and did some fucking brilliant slam poetry.
Yeah, that was, he got up to the podium.
He got up to the podium and did his bit, which was awesome. Way more people in attendance than I think any of us thought.
Absolutely. Oh, man.
But I had a blast. I really did. I had a blast. You know, hindsight being 2020, had I known what was going to go down, I would have full on bought notes and done everything. But I had a blast, and I hope everyone else on the panel had fun. There was a lot of laughter. There was a lot of you know, silly, snide remarks about mainly over money. But yeah, it was good fun, and I hope to be able to do something like that again.
Yeah, no, it was really, really cool. Because like I've done panels in the past. As I did one during COVID. I did mental health gaming for mental health. That was great. I'd done some silly collaborative panels in the past where I just go out and play a game. Like it's as part of the old the AGPN, Australian Gaming Podcast Network. So we did that. That was cool. But yeah, this was the one that was like from my idea X amount of years ago to fruition.
And it's one of those things that this idea is dated. Like the topic in question was a lot closer back then, and now there's no real.
Yeah, because the idea being of the console debate, like when I thought of the idea in 2019, like the debate was, the console war was very different. Like they were kind of neck and neck and clashing. Where now, like, I knew that we would go, like, if, you know, having you guys as PlayStation creators represent Xbox, it was going to be an uphill battle. But I was really hoping that we would, like, just maybe swing through and get a win for funsies and turn them around on something dumb.
I think the only topic that I forgot to bring up was obviously that Xbox are, like, the kings of accessibility when it comes to,
yeah,
like, controller design and all that fun stuff, so. But it was a good, lighthearted, spirited debate that ended up with you shedding some tears with exclusivity stories and
pretend tears. But like, yeah, absolutely. So yeah, it was everyone, like, in terms of where I sit as the person that you know, like Doom and I got it together. I am beyond happy with how everybody did. Like, yeah, as you mentioned, you're a little like loose. And you weren't quite there in terms of how I know you would have wanted it. But like, you got up, you spoke with confidence, and you nailed it. And it was great. And once that banter started going, it was fantastic. Yeah. You know, and then if we go to the other team, Nads was great. Like, Risk It. So Risk It for the Biscuit on Twitter is his handle. He is a like big time Xbox, like diehard. Yet he delivered this like 5-6 minute, I remember about 5 minutes, just love letter to PlayStation first party exclusives and why they're amazing and why we love them. And like, he worded it better than I could literally ever could. And it was it was amazing. I'm like, how the hell can you ever back that? Fuya nailed it with her Game Pass. There was one thing though, and the second she said, I went, oh no, which she's like, you don't even need the console, you can play Game Pass anywhere. I'm like, oh shit. And then the other side were like, we're saying I don't need a console? Well, I guess we've won then. And I was like, shit. But it was funny though, it was still good. And then to her get around that, and then Ash's 10 Reasons Why PlayStation Sucks was fantastic. I threw a couple of digs at me in there as well. Be like, you know, those arrogant Sony players that get tattoos on their arm and stand up at panels at PAX. I'm like, you son of a bitch, that's me. Yeah, it was cool. As I said, like, it was an idea. Yeah, the idea didn't age the best, but yeah. So as the panel ended, like, I had to hang around because I had another panel a couple hours later, which I'll touch upon. My anxiety did get the better of me, like as I was sitting there sort of just killing some time, like it might, I get my, whether it be the coming down of the adrenaline or whatever, like I'm sitting there myself going, what did I do? I had an idea. It didn't, like it did, what did it come out like we envisioned? Like, is everyone on the panel happy? Like, you know, yeah, there was a lot of people in the room and they were more than just my friends, which is insane to me, by the way, like fucking insane to me how many people turned up to it. Yeah, and I just do what my brain does, what it normally does. I was like, I waste everybody's time. It was a dumb idea, it didn't come together. I fucked up. And it wasn't until like the next morning, even when I was driving home, thinking about it. And I realized, yeah, look, even if I did, who fucking cares? Like, we did it. We did it. Like, I understand that most PAX panels are really just essentially one, like, you know, independent theater shows, right? They're like, PAX just gives the opportunity for people to go and do something on a stage that they would never really get the option to. So it's not even about, like, is it successful, quote unquote, because it doesn't fucking matter. It's just about whether you did it or not. And I think that alone is really helpful. So I go, yeah, no, I fucking did it. And it wasn't a failure. Like, two people left, maybe. But, like, people were in. People were there. People were excited. Mad Dog in the chat, I think he fell asleep, but he had a very long weekend. I got a message from Phoebe. I was chatting to Phoebe afterwards. She's like, you know your mate Mad Dog? I'm like, yeah, yeah. Like, he was behind me. I think he fell asleep. I'm like, cool. Sweet. Love it. I'm probably exhausted.
Me and Phoebe fell asleep in the fucking wrestling one earlier that day.
Yeah. Like that's the one thing about panels. Panels are also a great place to go and have a schnooze.
Yeah.
You know?
Have the old nap attack.
Yeah, I'm mad about that. Like, I've gone to panels just so I could sit down in somewhere comfy. I've done it. That's fine. But yeah, like, you know, the crowd was good. They were engaged. They laughed when they need, you know, like even especially within my monologue, I wrote this silly thing about like the origin of the console war. And I intentionally badly photoshopped a bunch of old timey photos to make them look more, you know, have them be related to the console war. I told this story of the history of the consoles, you know, and yeah, we highlighted like the, you know, Major Nelson and Phil Spencer and Jim Ryan and Shuhei Yoshida. And I don't know, I was really proud. I felt like it went a bit longer than I originally envisioned, but that's just because I just wrote more than I thought. But I was still very happy with it. And I'm very happy with the panel overall. And I'll touch upon it once again as when we go to our like final thoughts of PAX at large. But yeah, no, I'm really happy. I'm really proud. And I'm really like fulfilled, you know, because like, the idea of you know, silly little ideas come up all the time, but to be able to see it through fruition and then go, that's done. I set an idea within myself, and through an incredible collaborative process with some amazing individuals, like it happened. And that alone is a fucking win. So yeah, just trying to, you know, change my thought process and look at it, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And then later on I went and did a wrestling related panel with some friends. So Steve Willis had the idea, he wanted to do Masterpiece Arcade, and the idea was that each year, if it happens again, is people go up and they pitch what they believe is the best game of X topic. For this one, because he's a wrestling fan, best wrestling games. So it was myself, Fid McAwesome, Leah Williams, I think is her surname. A good friend, Mitcho the Tradie or Cold Spicy on Twitter. On Twitch. And Maddie Mouse. And I was Ref Betson, because he originally asked me to be on the panel as like a panelist. And I was like, hey, mate, look, I've only been watching wrestling since 2018. And even then, the only games I've really enjoyed are like 2K23 and 2K24. So like I could, but the best thing you're going to get out of me is like, hey, man, how good is GM mode, right? So I was like, is there another way if I'm like, give my spot to somebody else. And then, of course, I had my silly 2K shirt, my referee shirt. He's like, hey, can you want to be a ref so we can get like keep it more wrestling related? I was like, yeah, sure, why not? So all I had to do was run around the stage and pretend to be a ref. And, you know, they had a, with Micho being a real wrestler, and Matty wanted to get like his chest caved in, we planned a little spot to sort of get like, you know, I had to sort of get in and separate it. But that was a really fun, silly panel. Micho, pitch for Wrestling Empire was just fantastic. Matty's pitch for Here Comes the Pain was exceptional. I know the video, it was videoed, so it will be available, and I will be sure to share it on my socials. Our panel, there was no video, but there is audio, and that will be up on the podcast feeds later this week. Yeah, and then what we were also able to include, the PAX Oz 24/7 Championship. So this is something that's been running around for a little while. It is, there's essentially a WWE kids belt that, you know, for us wrestling fans or even just PAX people in general, the idea is if you find someone with this belt around the floor, you challenge them to rock, paper, scissors. And if you win, you become the champion and you just wander around until someone else finds you. And the idea is at the end of the weekend, you know, we try to get it somewhere. We see where it goes and where it ends up. It's essentially this great little like social community game. So I won it earlier in the day, earlier on Friday. Then I lost it a little bit later. And then Saturday, our good friend Noel picked it up. And knowing that we were only a couple hours away from the panel, he was like, we're trying to work out how can we get it to the panel. He's like, well, I'm going to vacate the title. I'll give it to you. You take it to the panel and you can put it on the line as the winner of the debate. Done. Easy. So we did that. So I got to ref like a couple of matches, which was awesome. So Micho won, you know, as we raised the belt above his head and go, and knew someone in the crowd who I believe is like a knows Micho as a mate, part of his community, whatever. Then we just hear this, "Oi Micho, I challenge you." And we're like, who the hell's this guy? Like, oh yeah, bring it. He stands up. He's like 6'9". He's a unit. Gets up, kicks the chair because he was in the second row, boots the first chair out of the way, goes up, challenges Micho, and wins. Becomes champion. Micho was champion for about 45 seconds. It was buck all. And it was awesome. Like, that alone was just itself just a stack of fun. And speaking of being silly ref, though, Mad Dog hit me up and go, and hey, you got that ref shirt of yours? I'm like, yeah. So can you come do something for us around 2:00? I was like, yeah, sure, why not? So this is when I bailed from your panel, from the panel. We went and saw our mates for WrestleBrainia, which is a wrestling games based trivia show. So I had to scoot. So I was like, peace. I'm like, you guys were there because you thought I was involved in that one, which would have been awesome, but I wasn't. Legged it, went out, and essentially ASAP Joey, who's a gentleman I've met once or twice before. But wasn't, I didn't know his name until I saw him. I was like, oh yeah, shit, yeah, I know you. He knew me, which was, once again, bizarre. Yeah, so they did a charity stream, and if they raised X amount, they were going to put someone through a table at PAX. So here's Micho and I, obviously Micho being a wrestler, myself working in wrestling, different capacities. Like, I've gimmicked a few tables in my time. Micho's gone through many tables in his time. So we're like, all right, how are we going to, what are we going to do here? In short, the guy said, oh yeah, I went and bought a trestle table from Bunnings. I'm like, it's a plastic one. I'm like, you're just going to bounce off that thing. That's not going to go well for you. Essentially, it all worked out okay. So we went over just a little bit past Crown, did this whole thing, put this dude through a table. It was a lovely little community moment. It was really cool. And I'm really grateful to be asked to come and do that because it was just super silly. And we do. We acknowledge the tribal chief of Twitch OCE, ASAP Joey. Put your ones up. That alone was a cool little thing. That little gimmick that made me just laugh really hard. But yeah, that was a fun little thing to do that's different around PAX. So we'll jump into the comments here and then we'll go into our final thoughts, I think. MGP jumps in and goes, not going to lie, I hope that next year I'm able to be involved with a panel because there are some of the best things about PAX. I saw one about content creators with disabilities and it was amazing. Had a great time learning about all that stuff. They also add, hell, the meetups are also amazing. I was at the ANZ Creators Meetup and it was just so amazing to see so many people who are passionate about this crazy content creation world. Yeah. It's I think that in itself is a massive part part of PAX. I think it's what makes it so special. But Max, did you have any sort of like final thoughts about PAX Oz 2024?
Yeah, mainly just, you know, it was awesome seeing everyone again, because obviously we know people from different states and stuff like that, so it was cool catching up with people that we don't get to see very often, you know, re-putting faces to names and doing all that stuff. And then, you know, talking to some of the people that we work with from like a PR standpoint as well was awesome. So yeah, it's always good to see people.
Yeah. So I mentioned it earlier. Like I kind of have interest. Like I've had some thoughts. I've had some thinking, Max. Mm-hmm. As I do in general. Like especially since, you know, everything that's happened in my life in the last couple of years, and as a result, it's put me into a position where I think, you know, external to myself, but also within myself. Yeah, introspection and reflection is kind of what I do these days. It's how I process the world. So I put that on and with PAX as well, hence why with the panel. One of the things I talked about a lot this weekend, because I've noticed it in previous years, but I really felt it this year, in that the way we used to do PAX, or even the way people did PAX pre-COVID, is gone. It's lost. It's changed. Initially, I was like, that sucks and that's bad. But I was pondering on it today, and I think I'm using the wrong word. PAX hasn't changed. PAX has evolved, and I think we as people and the industry has evolved along with it. And what I mean by that is because when we first went in 2015, or at least myself and Josh at the time, we tackled PAX like IGN would tackle PAX or E3 or Gamescom or Tokyo Game Show, is that we would go play as much stuff as we could. We would make videos about each thing we did outside the booth, and we would talk piece to camera and talk about the game and our experience. Over time, with the loss of all the bigger studios and developers there, that has become less and less obtainable. And each of the indies are tougher to make that content around because they're so early in dev. Who knows when they'll come out? Who knows what they'll even be? So like that format is different. It's no longer useful. It's no longer relevant. So it's forcing me to rethink how we do PAX. Because I know there was a point on the weekend, you're like, we've not filmed anything.
Mm.
And I'm like, yeah. And a lot of that was, it's a mix of conscious thought and circumstance. So with us doing the panels and stuff this year, our special guest passes, quote, you know, superseded, quote unquote, like our media badges. Like we did everything. We did exactly what was asked of us and exactly what was required of us, and we delivered. So I had this pressure originally in me of like, we're not doing enough videos. We're not doing our media side. Spoilers, this is it. Right? Like by talking, like it's been an hour and 15. Like we're just talking about PAX. And this is what this and we're on socials, we were sharing, that is the scope of media now. Because we don't write. Like we're old media in a new media format, and we always have been. So it's us doing that way, right? And by thinking about that, yeah, and like for myself, like I have evolved since 2015. And I've been thinking about that too, and how that has worked, where I started off as like scared and nervous and just wanting to emulate what other people were doing. I'm now at a point where I get to do, I'm not trying to be other people at PAX. I get to be me. And that in itself is amazing. Like I got to go do these panels and be me. You know, we walked around and we saw people that, you know, that we see only ever so often. And they talk to us as us. Not about the content that we make, but they can talk to us as us. Even like, you know, some of our, you know, our colleagues, friends that work in the games PR space, whether it be Con from Square, like he yelled at you and essentially got you to come chat to him, you know?
Yeah, that was awesome.
Like, that's lovely. And because Con's interesting. He's a lovely dude, but he's got like a real dry kind of like interesting humor. Because like all my emails to him are like, hey, Max wants to play this game. Like, I don't want to fucking play it. It's all Max. So there's kind of this running joke that like, hey, anytime there's something that we don't ask for, he's like, hey, Max might like this. He's never like, you might like this. He's like, hey, Max will get a kick out of this. So like that's always a chuckle. And I always find like, what's that line between working friendly because we're PR, you know, we're beneficial, and then just being kind and friendly. And like, I think because we don't have big numbers, we don't do anything amazing, like we have a very strong, small, non-vocal community. There's like a lot of people that listen to the show. Like, we do get literally hundreds of downloads a week, but we don't hear from many of them, and that's fine. I'd love to hear from all of them, but I can't, because that's not how podcasts work. So, you know, they don't have to be nice to us. They don't have to give a shit. So to have moments where we get to be friendly and like know that we have this respected professional relationship, because like Con, I respect the fuck out of Con. I respect Mikey, who I haven't seen since I was fucking 40 kilos heavier, and it was at EB Expo in 2016 or 17 where he crammed a thing to my face to pump farts up my nose for South Park The Fractured Butthole. So that was lovely. And then, you know, Charlotte from EA, who I only ever, like, we bumped into each other at Borderlands thing the other month, you know, it was good to chat with her here, and she's always just so lovely, and, you know, just, it's just so cool. And I love that. Like, I understand that, you know, it's difficult when people work in PR and marketing, like, they're paid to be nice to you, but not everyone's nice. So it's like, it's okay, cool. For me, it's just saying I appreciate that. And then I always appreciate anyone that came up and said hi, like people that we podcasted with in the past, or listeners, like we did. So shout out to Adrian. So I was sitting down near the Drop Bear Theater. I was catching up with Doom Cutie. She just pissed off to the bathroom, and I was just sitting there on my phone. And the guy walks up and goes, "Hey, Ryan." I'm like, "Oh, hey, man." And like, I didn't click who he was straight away. And he's like, "Oh, hey, I'm like, my name's Adrian." I'm like, "Oh, man." He's like, "Yeah, I'm listening to your show," and blah, blah, blah. And we had a great chat. And because I put up on Twitter, I was like, "Hey, look, I come say hi. If you know me, come say hi, because I will be distracted and I'll be in my own world. I essentially assume that no one knows who I am. And not that I expect to be a known individual, but it's just like, I'm not going to know anyone. I'm not going to see anyone that I know. So if you know me, come say hi. I'm a social person. I'd love to talk to you." So I really appreciate him taking the time to have a chat, because, you know, he commented on like, you know, he's a father as well. So like hearing how we integrate gaming with our kids is a big thing for him, because he's got twins that were 6 and an eldest that was 9, I think. I may have got the ages wrong. So he kind of sees it for a little bit differently from us too, which is really fun. But yeah, it's interesting because like, as you mentioned and I've highlighted, like, I don't need to be someone of notoriety. This is not something that I need. I like the feeling that I get when I realize I'm not entirely a nobody. Like, I've been doing this long enough, and I've been involved in enough little things. Like, even when I went and did that stuff with ASAP Joey, he's like, "Oh, hey, man." Like, because he knew me, because we've crossed paths before. And like, I obviously left some, like, I think it's impact, right? Like, I don't need to be known, notorious, but I like to know that I have left a positive impact on people, or I've done something to help elevate somebody else. And PAX, this year particularly, was a really nice experience. And because, as I said, like, this to me feels like evolution. And I think PAX is different, will be different for me. And it has been different for me, and I've only just sort of realized. And as we train, this is my new path? within PAX or even within the space. Like, we're never going to be the biggest PlayStation podcast. Shit, probably not even the biggest one in the country. You know, like, our YouTube, our numbers are pretty consistent. Like, our numbers are consistent. They don't grow all that much, but they're consistent, right? And that in and of itself is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Or even MGB, right? I spent a whole bunch of time with MGB, one of our, like, regular listeners, regular contributors into here on the Twitch side of things. And I just hung out with him for a while, and it was awesome. And we went and watched the fucking Tony Hawk tournament, you know? And I think essentially it's a long-winded way of me just saying how grateful I am to be in this space still after near a decade. And there are people that still want to talk to me, right? And want to be involved, want to you know, care about me in the same way I care about them.
Yeah.
Because I saw a lot of tweets today from people being like, oh man, I really felt like I didn't belong at PAX. And I get that. I'm someone that's felt like they've never belonged anywhere. But it's nice to finally be at a position because, yeah, my brain's a prick and it defaults to me thinking that no one likes me and that no one wants to talk to me and that I'm just this annoyance to people. And like they speak to me out of pure kindness and out of just nicety. Like, oh shit, yeah, he's here. Hey man, yeah, hey, how you doing? Okay, bye, fuck that guy. That's how I envision every conversation in my head. And there are times, Max, that I envision that's what you do after we've had these conversations. It's because how fucked up my brain is, right? Except for all the times where you probably have done that. But yeah,
if I was to ever do that, you know that I'm the kind of person who would tell you.
Yeah, you would tell me you're fucking idiot to your face. You just call me insane and I'm gonna go funny PS5 Pro. But yeah,
hey, look, if the insane shoe fits, like.
But yeah, look, for whatever reason, if any of my friends, and I do consider you all friends, whether you do me or not, I don't know. That's up to you. But any of them that do listen to this, or if they have, like. Fucking just thank you. Yeah, thank you. Like I hesitated because like I think I said thank you to everyone on the panel about like 98 times, and it's because I really want them to know like how much it fucking meant to me. And I said it to you as well, like how much it means if you just take your time out for this for me, right? PAX embodies that in a lot of ways. Like I said, I just did some people watching. And there are, you know, like there is big communities, there's little communities, there's groups of friends, there's people that have all come together in like this collective costume. They're all like, oh, we're going to essentially do, it's just, I don't know. I fucking love this world, man. Look, I love what we do.
I understand all parts of PAX except for one. It's the people who buy the 3-day pass to bring their own PC and play PC games in PAX.
Yeah, I do wonder that too. That's what I'm confused
like,
about.
I'm like, why can't you just do that at home for free?
Hmm.
Like, the internet is a beautiful place sometimes. That they're the one group that I'm kind of like, really? That's, I mean, I don't get me wrong. I love a good LAN party. And I've been to many a LAN party in my day. But like sitting in PAX, like PAX is not, PAX has fucking stale air after like 10 minutes. It's a lot to bring all your crap into the middle of the CBD Melbourne to set up on rickety ass tables in the middle of PAX and be like, I'm gonna play some games and I play at home. That confuses me.
That does, but I'm also aware that, you know, I said one of my highlights was I went and helped someone get put through a table. I imagine those people sitting at their piece going, why the fuck would you do that? It's a very good question. It caters to so many different individuals. But Max, we originally were going to like, you know, talk Silent Hill and like Dragon Ball Sparking Zero. This episode's already gone for an hour and 20. Fuck it. This is just PAX.
I'll do a very quick.
I was saying, let's just bank it. Cause like we've barely touched, like I've done a good handful of, I love Silent Hill. It's great. Well, I'll be doing a full review with a good friend of the show, Fid McAwesome, in the coming weeks. But like, we'll hold that. I can do that next week.
Well, let's talk quickly upcoming games before we wrap things up.
All right. So what's this upcoming? Oh, yeah, games are coming out this week.
Yeah. So first of all, we'll do This is what's coming to PlayStation Extra this month. I think they dropped this week. So you'll get Dead Island 2, Two Point Campus, Dark Pictures Anthology, The Devil in Me, Gris, Return to Anarchy Island, Ghostbusters Spirit Unleashed, Firefighter Simulator, The Squad, Overpass 2,
The Squad,
Tour de France 23, Ooh. Ghost Recon Wildlands, and if you are still a premium subscriber, you will get The Last Clock Rewinder, Dino Crisis, Siren, and R-Type Dimension X. That's EX, not just X.
I'm going to play the shit out of Dino Crisis, eh?
Yeah.
See, like, it's such a bummer that, like, Ghost Recon Wildlands was ass. No,
Wildlands was good. It was the other one.
Oh, Breakpoint was the shitty one. My apologies. Wildlands ruled. Breakpoint was poo. It was because it was full of micros. But I genuinely enjoyed those games. I never had anyone to play with. I was so mad.
Games coming out this week, though, tomorrow, we have Darksiders 2, the Definitive Edition.
I hate it.
Drover Forsaken Kin, Just Dance 2025 Edition, Neva, New World Eternium, Nico Dorico, The Magical World.
That's not a real game. And
Squirrel with a Gun.
Oh, I've seen that game on whatever. It looks sick.
On the 16th of October, we have 8-Bit Adventures 2 and Purpose 1951.
Mm.
On the 17th of October, we have A Quiet Place, The Road Ahead, Anomaly Agent, Arizona Sunshine Remake, Arsene Lupin, Once a Thief, Blazing Strike.
Arsene Lupin, isn't that guy from Harry Potter?
That's Remus Lupin, but close.
Yeah, you do Remus that Lupin, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
We have MechWarrior 5, Clans, and Killing Time Resurrected. And on the 18th of October, we have Hot Wheels Monster Truck Stunt Mayhem. We have Retro Realms. We have TMNT Mutants Unleashed. Together We Live, The Seed Unit 7, and Unknown 9 Awakening.
Nice.
Yeah.
So jump into the chat before we wrap this up. MGB jumps in and goes, hell, I even got to introduce you to my family. That's true. I met his mum and his brothers. And I think it was his dad, or I didn't ask. But yeah, I met his mum. I met his siblings. It was awesome. And we bonded over God of War for a moment because they picked up one of the God of War mystery boxes. So it was really cool. I got one for my son. I went over, gave it to him today. He loved it. He was very happy.
Did it have anything cool in it?
So it came with like a larger scaled pop vinyl of like the Fire Troll that you take on at the start of the 2018. It had a bottle opener in the shape of the Omega, which my son will actively use with all the drinking that he does. An air freshener, like a God of War air freshener, which smelled like aftershave. It didn't smell like, you know, vanilla bean or some arsehole air freshener. It smelled really nice. So that's got to go up in his mum's car. A lanyard and a car magnet, but the car magnet was missing and I can't take it back because it's fucking PAX and it's gone, but that's fine. Oh, and we did also get the Astrobot marshmallows too. They tasted like crunchy aerated sugar. They didn't have a distinct flavor, which was weird. MGB also adds, I felt like I was at home at PAX. It just felt right to me. And honestly, I cannot wait to go next year. Thank you too, guys. You guys have been, this is to both of us, you guys have been massive supporters of what I do, and this year it just felt so special. You guys mean so much to me. And right back at you, MGB. Like, it's one of those things.
I'm super bummed that I didn't run into you. Like, I literally spent all day Friday just being a fucking cave troll in the tabletop section.
He did. I found it by accident. Like, I didn't even go looking for him. He's like, he's just like playing typewriter or whatever.
I was just fucking dice goblining out the ass.
Yeah. But yeah. Oh, before we end the show, you may have look. Check this out. I've added more lights. Bam. Except ignore this one. There's not one there. But my lovely partner, Phoebe, had gifted me some of these little LED light doohickeys from Kmart for Father's Day, I think it was. And then I bought more. So like I can now individually light the squares because I noticed that like. You know, back in the old studio, with the old studio lighting, like it lit everything kind of evenly and then the LEDs kind of gave it a pop. Because it's a lot more darker in here, because I've only got the two spotlights rather than the big studios, I noticed that these dark got real dark real quick. And I was like, well, I've got this whole background. I should probably bring attention to it. So I've made them all equally matching purple. It's awesome. I'm very happy with it. Except one of the lights fell down and totally conked the living shit out of fucking Kratos. But he looks fine. He's taken worse. He's all good. It's good times. But anyway, Max, that does bring us to the end of the show. So, big thank you to everyone for not just listening to the show, if you have. But also, you know, PAX and everything. It's been a lovely year. You know, in terms of a lovely year of PAX and I don't know. I like my more optimistic look at the world, and I just get to be, you know, grateful and thankful and happy, and I don't know. I like my brain these days, Max. It's pretty good. Let's get out of here.
Let's. Alrighty, everybody, you know the drill. This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to join us in future conversations, you can come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you're listening to us on podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. Watch us on YouTube. Be sure to like, subscribe, comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can by heading over to patreon.com/thepopculturists. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players. MGB says, love you guys always. Aw. Mwah. Love you too. Oh. Especially you, Max. Love you long time.
Yeah.